thrusters won't stop firing.
I think I'm being followed.
My dad is turning green, like, literally green.
My last nav check put me at Lagrange Point 4.
This is Control, via radio. Keep calm and remain on the guard frequency.
Welcome, pilots. You're tuned to the guard frequency because as all good pilots know, when you're out in the deep black, you want to keep one ear on the guard. This is episode 543 of the best damn space game podcast ever, recorded on Friday, March 27th, 2026, and made available for download on Tuesday, March 31st, 2026, over at guardfrequency.com. I'm Tony.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Ken Shadow.
And I'm Henry.
Thanks for joining us. And if you like what you hear during the show, stick around for the closing to find out how to support us.
What do we got in store this week, Tony?
Well, Jeffrey, in this week's flight deck, we bring you all the headlines from simulated space, including the latest news from Elite Dangerous Star Citizen and Verse Project.
After that, we continue our audio adventure, Guard Frequency Exiles, where the team explores tattoo diplomacy.
Finally, we open up the feedback loop and let you join in on the fun.
Hike up those lacy booties, campers. It's time to swagger out to the flight deck.
3175 Port Bay.
Here are the top news bits from all the space games.
Elite Dangerous still hasn't released operations. Again. They also haven't announced a date where they will announce the release of operations. Still. But the Caspian Explorer is now available for in-game purchase. So at least you can spend your time waiting for operations, getting one of the best ships in the game ready for the new update, whenever it finally comes out.
Star Citizen, released early access pre-alpha release candidate, prototype experimental test build 4.7.115.18367 to the live server. Last week we said that, quote, maybe this will be the patch that deploys without anyone losing their gear or getting duplicates of everything, because so far it doesn't look like it, end quote. Alas, dear friends, this is not the patch we were looking for. The long-awaited inventory update has not fixed the underlying inventory management problems, and the Tier 0 crafting has introduced some new ones, like my 300 quality ore doesn't stack with my 600 quality ore, so I have three pages of the same ore of different qualities. But that's okay, because the system updates the ore inventory thumbnail once every second. So you can be sure that all 1,000 quality grades of ore will maintain their freshest look as you sort through every stack of them. And also, your Aurora is now obsolete, so you better buy a new one. And then also look to buy that Mark II version, just in case.
Verse Project is a space sim based in a 1-to-1 scale model of our solar system with no loading screens, Newtonian-based piloting, and seamless transitions from on-foot to in-ship gameplay. Where have we seen that before? Although it's only in beta, apparently it's very easy to get into and playtest. But it might be a trap, because it's made by Secret Russians. Secret Russians?
Secret Russians.
Secret Russians. Russian.
Are making a game and trying to trap all of us anxious Americans into playing their secret space game.
I'll play their space game.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be worse.
I don't know how. Well, I guess it could be made by the Iranians. So, I mean, there's that. So, yeah, it's a fraught and dangerous world we live in, right? There's an American guy who, you know, a decade and a half ago promised us all this stuff and hasn't quite delivered on it just yet. But now these random people from across the internet are also trying to do the same thing. And, you know, we're so anxious for it. We just willy-nilly just jump in and test where... When, you know, it's the secret Russians that are out to get us.
I haven't played the playtest, but from what I can tell from the message boards and stuff like that, I think it's just the moon. So
far, right? Or is it just going to be the moon? Yeah.
No. The game is eventually going to be the whole solar system, as the cop you said, right?
Yeah.
But right now it's just the moon. So you kind of like take off and land on the moon. It's got the spaceships and everything have a bit of Expanse vibe, and
I think
that's what they're kind of going for with like the, you know, everything taking place in one solar system, kind of a thing. From the game, the combat videos and everything, it kind of looks like a mix of like realistic with arcade. though I think a lot of that like combat stuff is still getting fleshed out. If you look at their milestones, they've been making pretty steady progress since 2024, actually. They have a roadmap on their website that actually looks a lot like the old SIG roadmap. But the...
you're getting all the inspiration from that just repeatedly. All the inspirations.
It seems like they're hitting... Like, they have everything divided into quarters. And, you know, every item either has, like, a percentage done or, like, a polishing or a done state. And they seem like they're kind of keeping up with what they're saying in their own roadmaps. Again, it's usually a dirty word, but that's
if it actually turns out like to be, here's our destination and here's when we intend to get there, and then we got there or we didn't. I think you're allowed to say roadmap then.
Yeah.
Good on you for showing other people how to use a roadmap. Well done.
Right. But I don't think that their roadmap like features don't seem to be overly ambitious. Because I think so, like, we're looking, counting out the quarters. So it looks like they're not really getting to be able to orbit and things like that until at least next year sometime, right? And there's not going to be other planets and stuff like that for a while. So, you know, it's not overly ambitious, but maybe that'll fluctuate if they hire more people. Because I think they only have a handful of people working on this game.
Go ahead. No, I was gonna say. I mean, but that's good, though. I think, right? If you're going slow and you get your gameplay loops solid, right? Like, make it interesting to fly from one moon base or another, and make it rewarding. And then the combat mechanics, make those fun and interesting and exciting and rewarding, right? Well, okay. Well, then add Mars in because you know what you're doing in your game because you figured it out on the moon, almost like real space, right? Like. Let's build a moon base, and then we'll go to Mars. We don't need to send a nuclear reactor to Mars next week because that would be sort of stupid.
And we've
what NASA wants to do.
Some of these other really small Indian teams be able to do some pretty impressive things, like Internet Starfighter. Right? They keep pumping out nice video after nice video, and this small team, I think it's probably like a dozen people, and they've only got like five people actually listed on their company on LinkedIn. I don't know. It's a little fuzzy there. Actually, it took me forever to find out that they're actually based in Russia because they don't say that anywhere on their website. And all the job
I would neither if I were them.
All the job postings are remote, so that's
You don't want that getting out. There might be sanctions involved.
Yeah.
So
it's understandable.
You're right, but it was they had a great video. The reports from our Discord said it was really easy to get into the playtest. I'm looking forward to I like these small projects, right? Because it does show how much progress you can make when you're narrowly focused and you have tight expectations and tight management.
Yeah.
Because you can make a lot of progress relatively quickly. It's in beta now. They expect to go into early access, according to their Steam page, soon, TM.
Yeah.
But if you're liking it, the beta, Verse Project.
I will caution that, like, there's not a lot of information about the gameplay loops itself. Like, they have a list of things they want to do, which is, like, guilds and mining and exploration and things like that. But, like, that's it. It's literally just a bullet point list at this point. Yeah. And so most of the discussion I've seen, like, the Steam forums and stuff, like, will there be a PvP, and, like, what does that even look like, and, like, how much of the game is that, and things like, and questions of that nature, and the developers really aren't answering those things this time.
Sounds like it's really early to be putting it up.
It is really early, but you should, like, have a pitch deck for that kind of stuff, because you don't know what kind of game this is at this point, other than it's an MMO.
Yeah, it seems to me like PvP is going to be a huge part of it, because it doesn't feel to me like the team is large enough to make a whole lot of PvE scenarios.
Well,
right?
PvE scenarios, you just throw a bunch of random NPCs in there, but either way, Given the market and the pedigree and everything like that, I would assume it's
and the
it's
fact that they're Russians.
Open. That's what I meant by pedigree.
Oh, that's what I meant by pedigree. Okay, I get it now. You're using a euphemism. Oh, I get it.
But didn't games like Metro and other games come out of Russia too? I mean,
Are we really slamming them because it's just politically correct to slam them, or?
I don't think we should. I mean, we're talking about Russian citizens developing. I know that what he's saying about sanctions, blah, 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 blah. I think we're riding it a little hard. These are just guys working on their computer, man.
I'm not slamming them in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying, you know, I think a lot of the multiplayer games that come out of Russia tend to be more PvP oriented.
There you go.
That's not a slam. That's just a correlation.
That's just a fact. Yeah. That's just a fact.
And you know, that's not a bad thing either, right? You know, it all depends. You know,
there's
saying,
a market for it.
There's a market for it. And, like, you know, some people look for that and some people don't. Now, they could come back around and say, no. There's only a little bit of PvP. And then that would be information we could use. But they have no information otherwise. Right. They just have a bunch of videos of people shooting at things. So take that
with you. We have to go with our stereotypes at this point. Mm. We have to go with our knee-jerk, racisms. And that's all we've got.
Is that racist?
I think Henry thinks so. What do you think, Henry?
No, I just think we were just pushing it a little hard. That's all. I don't think it's racist so much. I just,
Henry, you're not the only one.
I don't like anything that others people. That's all.
Well, go ahead, Jeff.
You know, I was right there with Henry. I was feeling a bit of the pressure there. For being as an all inclusive as I think as the game community can be. I don't think. Yes, their development is being in Russia, and that should be the only point being made. Not anything else.
The problem that you have with that is that, number one, that I think we should just be aware of, is that, number one, if they're trying to hide their Russian connections, it means that they are aware of the fact that they could have problems with it, both in terms of revenue acquisition and to use Ken Shadow's words, pedigree. They're aware that the connection could be problematic. And the flip side of it is, there's a certain type of a gameplay expectation, I think, that comes with developers out of Russia, which is typically, or even most of Eastern Europe, which is typically a little more PvP oriented. So I think that for both reasons, they may be trying to obfuscate those connections, both to manage to manage people's expectations or subvert them, as well as the practical problems of being in a country that is somewhat internationally isolated at the moment for reasons. I'm happy to see another project out there in the same vein of the stuff that we've been covering for the last decade and a half.
Especially one that has, it seems like a bit more realism in it and a kind of an expanse feel, right? I think most, there's a handful of games like In the Black has that a little bit, there's a little bit in a couple other places. But it's not that popular, and I would like to see more of that kind of game.
So, the day has finally arrived. Patch 4.7 is out, and just released to just huge fanfare and nothing but, success after success and strength after strength. It was great. Only melted the login servers, for a while, and only wrecked people's inventories a little bit. And only cause scrambling and panic for a day or two. So the hotfix channel is already it's in progress now. They're trying to fix everything that went wrong. For example, not being able to play the game because you tried to pick up a thing and put it in your inventory into the new inventory update system. So yeah, they're it's not getting better. The inventory system is not getting better, which is unfortunately kind of what we said last week. We thought that'd be sort of a problem, and sure enough, it is, and continues to be. But something that slipped past my radar when we were talking about the tier zero crafting system, which our research badgers put in the Discord that I kind of zoomed in on. And then I went and did some more research on it, and I think we should probably chat about this, about the Tier Zero crafting. So, turns out that everything you want to put into the system to build your gun or whatever it is you want to build has a quality rating.
All right.
And so if you have low quality materials, you would expect your end result to be Jeff what? What kind of quality would you expect to get from your finished good if you put in low quality materials?
Imperfect.
Okay. Yeah.
Imperfect. Low.
Yeah.
Imperfect.
Low. Yeah. Like, you know, you put in something shitty and you get something shitty out.
Like Timu.
Like Timu. Exactly. You know.
Don't mock Timu. I buy from Timu, so.
I'm sorry.
And you probably replace a lot of things you buy from Timu, don't you, Jeff?
Yes,
you
I do. But
yeah, yeah.
I expect that's to be expected.
You know, get what you pay for, right?
Well, you get what you expect.
Right. And you expect knockoffs, and that's what you get, okay? So from a design standpoint, if you're making a game and you have a crafting system and you have the option of putting in low-quality materials and getting a low-quality item, okay, that's fine. Conversely, put in high-quality materials and you get, Henry...
A high-quality item.
There you go. All right. So we're all in sync here. We're all simpatico with this view. It's a good basic design. Now, Brian, I'm leaving the hard question for you. How many grades of in this spectrum of, say, low quality to high quality, if you're making a crafting system for a video game, how many levels of quality would you, you know, just throw out a number of levels of quality that you want to design into the system?
It sounds like the minimum's at least two.
Sure.
I was thinking three, but I, you know.
Three okay. sounds like That's, a good yeah, number if, as well.
Jeff, what do you think? I mean, we got a two on the board. We got a three on the board. What number do you want to throw out there for your levels of quality?
Levels of quality?
Yeah.
Oh,
I put in low quality, I get a low quality item. I put in high quality, I get high quality. I mean, what do you think?
Four.
Four. I mean, these are all reasonable numbers. I mean, and depending on the amount of, you know, fiddliness you want in your crafting system, you might go as high as five.
You might want like epic common, and...
Sure, yeah. Legendary, right. You get the common, uncommon, superior, epic, legendary. You know, you might go five, six, maybe. You know, like, I'm going to toss this out here and just see what the panel thinks. What if, just throwing this out here, what if we had 1,000 levels of quality? I'm spitballing here.
Is the word asinine or just stupid? I don't know which is more appropriate here. Maybe we could think of 1,000 more words to apply to the situation.
We'd need a thesaurus, like a really good one. Like maybe 10 or 12 or 1,000 of thesauruses.
You know, thesaurus? You know
is that a dinosaur?
There's a thing in this world called science. And science is, I mean, over the course of hundreds of years, we have built scales of quality of metallurgy, of other consumable materials that we use. There is a quality scale that is universally pretty much accepted among all the different communities. I cannot imagine them subversing a metrics or a system like this, some type of measurement of quality standard.
Oh, no. I think you're right, Jeff. I think you're right. I think CIG did this. They made 1,000, their quality system has 1,000 levels, but I think it is tied to their obsession with the metric system. I think we can blame it on the fact that they moved the studio to Manchester in England.
No, I wasn't saying
about to say it's those damn Europeans.
I was using metric as a sign of measurement, not as a scale.
I understand where you're going, but I think you might have accidentally stumbled into something.
Oh,
here, Jeff.
Okay, all right.
I think that I think you might have actually, that might be the thing. Yeah, no, but that's what they did. They picked 1,000. It was just 1,000.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. You mine something or you buy it from a vendor or whatever, and depending on there could be 1,000, you have 1,000 different grades.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. I don't understand why they would do that.
I kind of understand it, but it sounds like the implementation is lacking for what they want.
Should have been 2,000.
As pointed out in the copy, what you have here is you're having stacks of things that don't collapse, right?
Yeah.
I would have a thing where all the types of ore collapse, and then it gives an average quality of that stack. And if you want to separate it out, you're given an option to separate it out so that you can refine it into some sort of higher quality thing. That's what I would do, right?
It sounds like you're creating another gameplay loop here, Brian, where I have a game where I mine a bunch of things and then I game out how much quality I want versus how much quantity I want.
Yes, because like, because okay, you could like find niches in the market where like that's the highest quality sells like for an order of magnitude more. So you're going to pay the cost of separating that out and just refining those bits and then refine the other stuff just into one big lump, whatever.
This is a fantastic idea, Brian. I love this idea. It's wonderful. And they should definitely look into doing that sometime in 2032 when they finally get around to doing tier one crafting, because this is tier zero and this is the system that they have until further notice. And I, for one, would I think that you've made a great suggestion, Brian. So if they haven't thought of this, that they should definitely go. I have a different suggestion, more on the management side, not on the game design side. There needs to be a whiteboard policeman, and he needs a little hat and a badge, and he needs to stand in front of the whiteboard at every CIG meeting, and he needs to throw nightsticks at people when they do stuff like this. Like, this is so stupid. This is, again, I don't understand how these things make it off of the drawing board and into the game. Even if there is, let's give them the benefit of the doubt, even if they have something like Brian's idea in mind for something later on down the road, this is the system you're stuck with. And this is the system that you're going to build on until you get to that magic day when your quality refinement mechanic gameplay loop comes into effect.
This is the kind of system you get when your game design people are completely divorced from the implementation.
Bingo.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like if the...
And so they're like, they give you a design doc and they're like, oh, there has to be 1,000 grades with this cool like combination system. I can't get the combination system in, you know, with this one. So we're going to have to put these in different piles. And maybe we don't even tell the design people that we're gonna just going to go ahead and just do this implementation.
Yep. Well, I've got a deadline. I'm supposed to ship this feature in March. I don't have time to wait for, this other gameplay loop that, two other teams are working on, and they're behind blockers caused by the inventory backend because our database keeps duplicating shit and overwriting things and locking people out of their accounts when they pick up a hot dog at a vendor. So we're just going to do this and pretend it's great and everyone's going to have a good time with it.
Well, so what they should have done is they should have just said, okay, whenever you mine things, you can only possibly get two types of quality.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way they can fix it going forward. They just changed the mining node spawn.
Yeah.
Just do one of those.
How about because I think Jeff's right. I think they're obsessed with the metric system. How about just 10? 10 grades is still excessive.
That's still excessive. Extremely annoying.
It's still excessive, but it's two orders of magnitude less excessive than the one they have now. So
I think we hit it on the head, right? Earlier. 2, 3, or 4, right? Anything more than
give
that,
them five
you know,
or six.
You're risking a sprained tone.
I'd give them 5 or 6 so we can get epic and legendary, right? I mean, you get the blue, the green, the purple, and the gold, and the platinum.
This is tier zero. Who cares about all those quality grades, right?
That's a good point. You shouldn't be.
Whenever you get to the point where you've actually fixed the inventory system and you've got your 2, your 5, and your 1,000, and you can collapse them into one pile, then you just have 1,000, and what's it matter, right?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Yeah, no. I concede your point. This is anything would have been better than what they've done, because it's not only showing the weakness of their crafting system design, but it's also highlighting the weakness of their back end database problems and their front end inventory management. It's like, we've designed this perfect system to show you our ass here. This you can get a full on look at our pasty white butts. Look at how this is.
Star Citizen's game design problems have always been a holistic issue, right? I'm serious.
No, you're right. You are correct.
Individually, like a lot of these decisions make sense if you don't look at anything else.
Nope.
Right.
Right.
But when you look at the whole, you're like, these systems don't glue together properly.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's always where they run into. The rubber meets the road, and they start slipping.
The story of the game from 2013 and 14 has been poor management decisions at every step of the way. And the only thing that's kept them going is the fact that the individual decisions sometimes kind of work. Like, the teams that actually put this stuff together, I mean, they have maybe some good ideas, and they make pretty ships, and things go boom. Like, good job. Can you make it all work together? And the answer is pretty consistently, no, we can't. We don't know how to do that. That's not within our...
It takes them, like, 3 iterations, usually, to get things to start working together. And then it gets the next tier or whatever, and they have to do the
thing. They have to do it all over again. So, speaking of doing things all over again... your Aurora Mark I that you got in 2013 with your $40 entry level pledge to Star Citizen / Squadron 42 world, that is now obsolete, because the Aurora Mark II is here, gentlemen, and it's better looking, and it has wings that flap out, and it's got more cargoes and more weaponses and all the better things all are about it. So what you need to do is you need to buy some more Aurora Mark I's before they stop going on sale forever. So I need you to rush over to the Star Citizen Pledge store, everyone here, and buy either four old versions of the Aurora, or you can get the new Aurora SE, which is the best of all four of the old Auroras all in one package. So the thing that made the LN special, the thing that made the other three things, all the things that made those four special have been combined into the new Aurora Mark I SE, which is also obsolete. But it's a new ship, but it's obsolete. So you should go buy these now, and then you should go buy the Aurora Mark II, which is replacing all five versions of these Aurora Mark I's. And if you guys could just get your credit cards out and get those now, please.
So the Aurora, like the Mustang, has always been a starter ship.
Yes.
Like, there's always been these other ships where, like, you know, these mid-level ships you can buy, like the Avenger and stuff like that, where, like, okay, it's kind of a starter ship depending on how much you're spending, but it's like a ship that maybe you can kind of fly. You don't ever, like, sell or throw away, you know, because maybe you'll pull it out of for specific use cases in the future. Mm. The Aurora, at least in my mind, was always a ship that, okay, I'd be flying that for like a handful of hours in game until I got a new ship, and then I would never touch it again unless I was like completely out of insurance on everything else, right?
It's a Sidewinder and Elite Dangerous.
Exactly. It's the Sidewinder ship. Really dangerous. Yes.
Yeah.
So like, why would I want to buy another one? Why would I even care? I mean, okay, the Mark II looks cool. I will admit
Mark
that.
Mark II looks like an Ornithopter, which looks cool.
It's an Ornithopter X-Wing Aurora thing, you know? So that's awesome. And in fact, it's actually like based on fan designs that had the blades on the side of the Aurora fanning out like an X-Wing kind of a thing, you know?
Completely impractical on a spaceship, but oh, it's pretty.
That's Star Citizen in a nutshell.
Yeah, pretty much.
But like, why would I care about upgrading my Aurora, right? Why wouldn't I fly one of the other badass ships that are like, you know, way better than it in every other capacity?
Yeah. Yeah. Except maybe in looks, because it does look pretty. It looks slick.
I guess.
It looks very slick. But
if I'm picking up chicks on, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're picking up ships, you're not flying your Aurora, because that means you're poor.
That's true.
As good as the Aurora Mark II looks, it's still the Ford Fiesta of spaceships.
Ignore the man with the 8-9 joke. Come hop in my one-seater Aurora. You can squeeze into the bed compartment while I fly.
That's right. Yeah.
We both can't get in the bed compartment. It's too small. You can sit in there while I fly.
Yeah. It's not a strong pickup line. I'm 50 years old, and I've been out of the game for literally decades. Even I know that is not a strong pickup line. That's not, your game is suffering from that. Yeah, we'll just do a couple brief words about the state of Elite Dangerous, which is unchanged again. I had been led to believe that Q1 2026 was operations. Was the window for operations to come out. I guess that was too optimistic. Maybe it's first half of 2026, in which case, you know, 3 months to go. So anytime between now and June, I guess, guys, would be great.
I mean, technically, they can release it on Tuesday and it'd still be in Q1.
I suppose that's true, but I would have thought, in keeping with past practices, that they would have said, hey, guys, next week, we're going to get ready for operations. And they would have said something along those lines. They don't have to, though. They could just drop it. They could. That's absolutely something they could do. Just not really in keeping with their past practices. So, anyway, having learned from Odyssey, the discretion being the better part of valor, perhaps they should just keep baking it until it's done. And I should stop harassing them and haranguing them about it, because I'd much rather them get it right than hit an arbitrary deadline. If you need another 6 weeks, take another 6 weeks. Just let us know, right? Just let us know. Let us know that it's going to take another 6 weeks. We're pushing it back. We're polishing. We found some problems. We're fixing it. Just say something.
Maybe they're adopting the metric system too.
they have 1,000 missions that they need to get in there. 1,000 different versions of the operation. When 100 would do. 100 would be fine, guys. You don't need 1,000. Yeah. 10 is not enough as far as missions, I don't think. But 100 would be plenty. So, all right. Well, the other thing they've got going this week is the Caspian Explorer's out. And so if you didn't pony up for ARCs to buy the Caspian Explorer, which is one of the best ships in the game, I can say that without reservation. Henry 100%. Agrees with me.
Oh, yeah. It's a great ship.
Yeah. I don't even know how much it is in credits, and it doesn't matter. Pay the price. It's totally worth it. Get out there and get one of the best ships in the game. It makes planetary landings easier. It's ridiculously maneuverable for its size. It's got hard points for days. It's got internal modules that are fantastic. The only thing it's missing is 8 utility slots, so I'm a little sad about that. But I'm not going to begrudge the 2 utility slots it's missing. It's fine.
Nah, it's an exploration ship anyway. You don't need that many.
It's an excellent ship. Go buy one and fly one and enjoy yourself until Operations comes out, whenever that is. And now that we're all caught up with space game news, let's get back in the game with Guard Frequency Exiles.
Come on, Mama's not going to save you today. Let's go. You want to fly or not?
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
I told you, didn't I? Did I not tell you? I told you, I was right, wasn't I? Wasn't
you
I right?
Did. She's incredible. That was amazing.
She's just amazing. Just amazing. That's the right word. There's no other word for it. That's great. So yeah. So what are you doing now? The night is young, as they say.
Well, I was hoping to see my son and his girlfriend. Afterwards.
Oh right, with the backstage passes. Right. Maybe you and I shouldn't go in there, right? It's a small, intimate setting. She gets worried about the crowd, about the whole feng shui of the place. I mean, and I tell you, I can't stand another night in the drum circle. I just can't. They always make me play the drum, and I don't like that. I just don't. I'm tired of them.
I did want to check on him, though. He got accosted by a lady at work the other day.
Oh, my God.
And he's been a little self-conscious about... you didn't see him when he came in. He's got some.
No.
He's got some bruising.
That's
visible. But
okay.
But he, he realized that the lady that did that to him, she was having a hard time too, and he understands hard times more than most, I think. So
sure, so he, hard times. Yeah.
He tried to drop the charges against her, and the officer just. He said no, and
little official trouble, huh? Little official trouble.
Yeah.
Well,
and it's just it's really been stressing him out. He really doesn't want this lady to have to go through even more hard times.
Yeah, the wheels of justice can be cruel. They certainly can. That's why I've decided to go with more of a freelance side of things. I still deliver the hammer blow of justice, but on my own terms. I find it's important. My brother Pete. Number one, he didn't brand very well. Everyone just calls him Pete. silly. That's why he works in the government job, you know? He just didn't pay attention to that kind of stuff. Anyway, he's a real stickler for the rules, but, you know, maybe I could have a word with Pete, and you know, you could see what we can do with your friend. You know?
Do you think you could do that?
I mean, usually I charge an administrative fee for that. It usually runs 5,000 credits or so. It's a consultation business, you understand. If you consult with the local government officials, you have to interface with them. It's very complicated. You deal with the space pilot stuff. The station things, it's a different world. Yeah, you understand it. You know what I mean. But for you.
I totally get that.
It's your son's birthday, right? I mean, birthday special day, right?
Yeah.
2,000 credits. For 2,000 credits, I'd be willing to consult with you on your case.
This guy sucks.
Well,
I know he can't hear me. I'm sorry. It's just, what a jerk, dude. He's on a date. He can't. He's like, I don't know why the chicks aren't receptive to me.
It's Henry, it's about the branding. It's about the branding.
This guy, I want to punch him.
So he's you know, he's very concerned about branding and establishing himself. So yeah. Birthday special.
Okay. That's a little out of my price range though. I mean, with the background check and. I went a little crazy buying this dress for tonight.
Well, but that's true. You know, that is a stunning red dress, to tell you that, to be honest with you. It's quite stunning. I mean, I feel like that's giving you like a 20% boost to like just everything about you. Just everything about you is probably about 20% better, I think.
That's
really
fantastic.
Honestly. It was a good choice. I'll tell you what. I know you probably stepped out on a limb on that. I have a keen eye for fashion. That dress probably ran you about 1,000 credits, I suspect. So I'll tell you what, so half off of that even. So for a mere 1,000 credits, I can consult with you on your administrative government problems that you have.
Do you think, how about 500 credits and I'll show you my tattoo?
That's charm.
I was about to say, I think that would be a charm.
That's charm. That's a charm check. Give me the charm check.
14.
Ooh. Plus two.
Oh, yeah.
That's
forgetting about the plus two. Ah!
He says,
16.
The tattoo. The whole tattoo from Earth.
Yeah.
He pulls out his hand comm and goes, it's on the house. Click, 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 click. Pete. Hey, Pete. Pete, it's Tim. Yeah, it's Tim. I got, I'm at the show. Show's great. You missed it again, by the way. You know, you got to come to one of these things and I invite you next time, man. Look, Pete, I got a lady here. Jemmy. Yeah, Jemmy, she's got a friend it's in custody now. Yeah, something about a kid at a limb store. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, I think you're gonna have some witness problems there, and I think you're gonna have some public relations problems there, and probably ought to just drop those charges. I would think it's probably gonna be better for you in the long run. You know, if you want to get that promotion that you've been angling for, you know. You know you're not good at branding, Pete. You know you're not. Yeah, listen to me on this one. Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's great. And he covers the receiver and goes, anything else you need from Pete? Is there anything that you need from Pete? While I got him on the line here.
I don't. Maybe he could tell my son happy birthday.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And anything else? Going once, going twice?
The limb. Get the limb out of lockup.
My son said something about, The her leg being like it.
Oh, from the limb? From the limb store.
He needs it back for inventory purposes.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah, hang on a second. Hey, Pete, you got a leg in lock up there? Yeah, the leg. Yeah. The assault weapon. Yeah, I guess you could call it that, Pete. He looks at you like, this guy. Can you believe this guy? Can you believe it? Yeah, Pete, I guess. Yeah, I suppose you could brand it that, Pete. I told you not good at this branding thing. Look, yeah. Spring the leg, too, okay? Yeah. Okay. Drop the charge, spring the leg. Yeah, great. The manager guy, he'll be by to pick up that leg here after the show. Okay. Great, Pete. Thanks a million. All right, come to the dance, brother. Come to the dance. Okay, good. All right, good. Real good. Bye. All right. So, the tattoo.
Could we go somewhere private for that?
Absolutely.
I don't really feel comfortable doing that.
Absolutely. Right this way. Absolutely. Right this way. And he takes, there's dressing rooms and stuff, you know. He's like, so, genuine Earth article. You're not, this isn't bullshit, right? This is for real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Real thing?
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm ready.
Could you help me with my zipper?
I would absolutely love nothing better than to love you with this, help you with the zipper. That would be great. So he looks for the zipper. He finds the zipper.
If he pulls it down, it starts revealing. So.
Okay. He's like, that's amazing. Oh my God. The filigree. Look at this. What kind of needle was he using? This is amazing. Look. Oh, this is hand drawn. There's no robotics involved. Was there, there wasn't like a servo motor involved? He didn't program this. This is by hand even.
Yeah.
This is, oh my God. This is, I'm not going to introduce you to my guy. Because he would immediately quit. He would not be business. He would stop. This is, wow. Wow. What are you doing next week? Are you going to like be basing yourself here out of Fabian City, or do you like fly around a lot? I mean, your son's here. So do you get back here a lot?
I do come by sometimes, but
yeah, that,
but my job does have me off station a lot.
This has been a magical night for me in more ways than one, let me tell you. This is, wow. I have to get a new guy. I have to get a new tattoo guy. He can't keep up. Maybe I need to go to Earth. Maybe that's what I should do.
Does that mean I don't get to see yours?
He looks at you and kind of goes, okay. He takes off his jacket. He unbuttons his tie. He takes off his tie. The 34th century people still wearing freaking ties for some reason. I don't know. He unbuttons his shirt.
But they're ties that tie themselves, right?
Yeah, they're automatic ties. Exactly, yeah. Automatic ties. They don't get a +1 social factor because they're ties, and they're stupid. And even the 34th century, he takes off his shirt, chest is bare. He turns over to the side and he shows you his bicep, and he's got like one heart with an arrow through it. It's got the little heart with the arrow through it, and underneath it says "Mom."
Oh, that one's so sweet, though. And it's a classic, too. Good for you.
Well, that's what he said. He said it's an ancient tattoo. It's got a lot of history on it. He told me it traces its origins back to Earth. He said and that it had cultural significance. Like, your mother was the first person to break your heart, I think, is what he told me. There was an entire story. To be honest, I didn't pay a lot of attention to it. I was in a lot of pain.
Because your mother broke your heart?
No, because the tattoo really hurt.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. I see Shepard. Can't shut up. Crack it up. Sorry. I'm cracking up now, too.
I am holding it in.
So, yeah. As he puts his shirt back on and puts his button to tie, it's been like, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. I hope things go well with your son and getting conked on the head with the leg and stuff. I hope he heals up.
He's already in a better place than he was when it happened. Okay. So.
Oh, good. Well, go give him the good news. I got to close up here.
Oh,
it's hard to get good
help
these days.
Can you help me with my zipper
again? Oh, I would. Yes, absolutely. I would love to help you with your zipper again. Zip, get you back up here. Friction needs me to help close up, and hard to get good help these days. I got to supervise the crew.
Of course.
Can't wait to see you again. He beams you his space telephone number from his handcom, and he looks at you expectantly, like, eh? Eh? Like, do I get a phone number, too? Do I get a space phone number, too? Huh? Huh? Huh?
I don't know when I'm going to be able to call you, but...
Roll me a diplomacy check.
Well, it's more along the lines of...
No,
like,
it's diplomacy.
Like the only... I'm giving you the reasons why I said that. It's because this is the only calm we have at the moment.
Right, yeah. You don't want Roland answering that call.
Are you sure that's not like a heavy weapons check?
Yeah. I'm her brother.
Well, that wasn't a great one, but...
Not a great roll, but not a terrible roll either. So, I mean, you're letting him down easy, and he goes, oh, yeah, no, I understand. I understand. No, that's fine. I mean, you know where to find me, though, right?
I definitely do.
Okay, all right. Well, until we meet again.
Don't worry. It'll happen.
Marvelous. I look forward to it.
And I give him a wink and finger guns as I walk away.
That's my girl. Wink and a finger gun back. All right.
That was definitely the most spicy scene we've had our frequency.
Honestly,
it was just a terrible date,
and I didn't want to listen anymore.
Right, right. I was waiting for him to like try to punch him and knock him out or something like that. But no, that just worked for me.
Anyway, I get back to the guys and I'm like, oh, thank God I didn't have to use the poison lipstick.
He didn't. He did not push for a goodnight kiss. Skullcracker, for all his weirdness, is a gentleman. So there you go. You back with the guys. You give Baxter the good news. The leg is delivered back to Lim Fanatic. And as promised, Baxter sends that down to Icky's joint. It's going to take a day or two to get plasma out of the clink, though. Processes must be upheld. Pete's not going to do that. So they got to wait for the judge to sign off on the release and the dismissal and all that kind of stuff. So unfortunately, we're not going to have a scene with plasma reuniting with Roland, but plasma will be returned to Icky. You have in your possession the data crypts that you left. If I recall correctly, you had 19 100 credit slips, two 1000 credit slips, and one 10,000 credit stick. And then you also now are in possession of a data crypt.
Right. That sounds about right.
Yes. And so now you'll be able to take payments anonymously, and you'll be able to generate payments anonymously as long as you have little squares of plastic and electronics, which are widely available and easy to come by. So you can now participate in commerce, although albeit, you know, kind of off the books commerce.
Good for us. Twinkies for everyone.
That's right. Twinkies for everyone. And with that, Jesper goes... So, how'd the leg caper go, huh? Did you get what you needed out of that?
We had to do a lot more running than we were expecting to, but yeah, you know, everything got taken care of.
Okay, that's great news. Look, if we cleaned up everybody's messes, have we gathered up all of our goodies and such, you ready to get out of here or what?
Anybody else got business to take care of?
Nope. Unless she's going to hang around for another date.
What is this?
You know, he was surprisingly a lot better than a lot of the other guys I've met recently.
Oh, ho, ho. Whoa, you guys are in trouble, huh? She's really ripping on you guys, huh? Yeah, for real. You're not talking about me. That can't be.
To be fair, we have been causing a lot of trouble.
It's true. Yeah, you guys are.
I'm not gonna argue. She did what she had to do, and she pulled us out of the fire there. So, a deer all the way.
Hey, great news. Good job. Look, are we ready to head off to Colonia now? Is that we ready to go?
Anybody else got anything we need to pick up? Don't we have a thing?
There's the stash that I left on that abandoned moon. We can swing by on the way out of out of the bubble.
I like this. Stashes and abandoned moons, huh? I like this. Sounds very piratey. Does the big X mark the spot and stuff? Bury treasure?
Let's hope it's not haunted.
Oh.
Not so much an X, but...
Okay. But like a mathematical arrangement of spatial coordinates which will allow us to navigate to the precise point. Okay,
also. Spot, yes, but it doesn't sound as good.
It does not sound as good, but that'll work. Okay, sounds
good.
Kind
of a three-dimensional X.
Sounds great. Well, let's go hit that up and then get out of here, because we may have overstayed our welcome at this point. I'm surprised we haven't been hit yet after that clumsy attempt back at the engineering station. I'm surprised there ain't been nothing else. You guys were on the station for several hours. I'm surprised no one got you.
Well, thanks for saying, because if it happens now, it's on you.
Who can say?
It's all skill.
It's all skill.
Okay, buddy, what's on your mind?
We're all friendlies! So let's just be friendly!
Some say his wife keeps blowing everything out of proportion, and that's really ruining his balloon animal business. But no one knows he's called the Brit, and he'll put together this week's feedback.
Ugh. I don't even want to comment on that. That is just...
At least it made sense.
It did. You didn't have to know
the entomological roots of the word balloon.
Yeah, yeah.
In order to understand the joke.
Yeah, it was okay. B minus.
It's a passing grade.
Yeah.
Moving on, a recap of last week's community questions. are you planning on another playthrough of Starfield once the update comes out? And community question two, should more games try to design a solar player multiplayer toggle? Is this the way to promote peace and harmony among PvE and PvP players?
Ben from Chicago writes in and says, for community question one, no. I might try Starfield if it goes on Steam sale. For community question two, making a single-player game that trained you for the multiplayer version was the standard for the 90s. I do remember that. Like, back in the day, they were like two separate executables half the time.
Let's go back to the 90s. Today, I was transported back to the 90s. I went to Office Depot, and we got some, we got a chair and some yellow pads and a ruler and some pens.
Oh, wow.
And I was the third person in line, and the line was stretched six people behind me. There were probably 10 people in this line. And the reason that I was, that this line was so long and I was stuck back there with my, you know, five or six items was because there was a guy at the checkout line buying a single box of envelopes, regular letter size box of envelopes, and paying for it with a check.
Hmm.
Number one, who needs envelopes anymore? Number two, who buys things with a check? I was back in the 90s for a brief amount of time.
Obviously a person that needs envelopes.
The other thing that brought me back to the 90s.
It would be also a person that writes checks because they like to write things.
He probably pays his bills by check and therefore has to mail those checks in. Because that's the only way a check writer does it.
That's true. This is all coming together now. The other thing that took me back to the 90s is I used to work at Staples back in the late 90s. And someone, while I was shopping, in fact, stopped me and asked if I worked there. So, and that used to happen to me all the damn time. At every retail store I ever went in to go shopping, Best Buy,
you just
Staples,
have that kind
grocery
of
stores, people just think that I, number one, I look helpful, and number two, I look like I work at a store. I mean, that's
you're wearing a brightly colored collared shirt.
I was wearing exactly what I'm wearing right now. I have my black T-shirt. This is an audio podcast. Black T-shirt with a gray like Columbia fleece jacket. It doesn't matter what I wear. People think I work at that store, no matter where I go. So, it was a 90s kind of a day for me.
No one thinks I ever work anywhere, which is just fine for me.
It's the ponytail.
It is.
That's what does it. They're like, that guy can't get a job.
They wouldn't hire degenerates like that. Long-haired hippie people need not apply.
That's so 90s.
That song was from the 90s, too.
Another 90s, yes.
Yeah. Strife writes it and says, community question one, sure, why not? It looks like some interesting changes. Community question number two, I wouldn't mind it. I was playing Deadlock earlier, and we were only playing against bots because the experience playing against other players has usually been less than enjoyable. Yes, PvP usually is less than enjoyable. I agree.
I missed listening to the show last week. Which game in particular was this talking about?
Jeff, you were playing this game. It was the game you were talking about last week.
I've been playing Where Winds Meet.
That's right.
Their game, which is really, really good, It's a Chinese game. It is based in the cultivator kind of wushu type of gameplay. They have a solo mode. You start out in solo mode, but they have a co-op toggle, and it's just a button at the top of the screen, and then you're immediately in multiplayer. You switch to multiplayer, and it works. It works rather well. You don't drop from the game or anything. You just switch back and forth as you see fit. And it's a good alternative for games that want to gather the solo players in for a single player experience, but also cater to the co-op stuff. So,
okay. But the toggle there was specifically co-op, not PvP?
It's specifically co-op. So you actually go into a multiplayer instance. There's a couple of places where you meet up with a a huge group of people. If you need to heal, for example, higher injuries that you can't heal yourself or, you know, through the NPCs that you visit, you go into co-op mode and broadcast, I need a healer, and almost immediately somebody shows up and heals you. So there's gotcha. A lot of... there's a it's a really good game. You really should check it out.
Where Winds Meet?
Yep.
Cool.
It's not a space sim.
I didn't get that from the
just
name.
To be clear. Just to be clear.
Yeah. No, I guess I'm not a fan of PvP toggles. I guess that's why I was going to say this. Like when we're talking specifically about PvP, yeah, there's a lot of different implementations here, and my favorite would be PvP designated zones. I guess that would be my best. Because, like, I like WoW and stuff like that have PvP servers and the like. And I never quite liked that because sometimes I'd be like, I put a bunch of effort in this character. I'd kind of like to try PvP with it, right? And then in WoW or whatever, it's like there's an arena or whatever. Anyway, it always felt a little wonky. Whereas, you know, the zones, again, maybe this is me going back to my old UO roots, right? Where like, all right, here's a copy of the world that anybody can get to from the same other world, and that mm-hmm. in that world there's PvP. So if you want to fight other people, you go there. And there's certain benefits to go there, right? I always liked that implementation.
I feel like this is like kind of like that because I feel like if I want to experience PvP, I can get into this other mode. The other thing is that I like your method, Brian, except for the fact that when they have story missions or main missions that require you to go into these zones, it kind of turns me off then because this game doesn't do that, and most games don't do that, but there are some games I have played that, you know, stick you in that, like, they're trying to force... See, isn't PvP great? But,
Yeah. No, I get you. Yeah, I agree. You know, I like, you know, if you want to do PvP, here's some bonus for you. But if you want to just play the game, I've always said you shouldn't be forced into PvP. Right, you know, for the people that just don't want to deal with it. So, anyway.
In general feedback, Ken from Chicago writes in, why do you all have to do the episode last week? I had my picture for adorable little Hunter Tony Phil groundhog just to see a shadow, and there were 7 more days without podcast, but no!
I will say, so there's a picture here. Tony, is it? I guess it's an AI drawing of Tony as a beaver. And
is it a beaver or a groundhog? It looks like a beaver, but it's supposed to be a groundhog.
It looks like a beaver.
It's supposed to be a groundhog, but it is obviously a beaver. And I'm going to say that I might have nightmares tonight because that is just really creepy.
It is really creepy, isn't it? It's just creepy.
See, this is the problem I have with AI. Someone can go on my LinkedIn page, take that, and turn it into basically anything. Beaver, groundhog, giraffe, lion, marshmallow. I mean, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you do look pretty handsome as a beaver, or whatever the fuck.
The hair is spot on. I mean,
it is good.
The hair is absolutely spot on.
And
for
it,
sure.
it does maintain kind of a professional look, right?
By God, I'd hire that beaver to represent me in court. I sure as hell would. That groundhog / beaver guy would command the respect of judges and juries throughout this great nation, for sure.
Absolutely.
I bet you
could
even run for president.
Well, anyone can be president, Jeff.
Yes, obviously.
There are minimum, very minimum constitutional qualifications,
yep,
Jeff.
Yep. I mean, a very low intelligence bar, too, so.
Yep.
You just have to pass a cognitive test.
Man, person, beaver, camera, TV. And this week's community questions. Does the country of origin of a video game dev team make a difference to you in looking at a game? And how much tier zero is too much tier zero? If your first iteration shows off all of your game's weaknesses, does it need a little more time in the oven? And otherwise, how was the show? Are we learning a lot from our mistakes? Are they the only things that we can truly call our own? We welcome your comments over at guardfrequency.com and discord.guardfrequency.com. You can also reach us on Blue Sky at GuardFreak. Your feedback's an important part of what we do, so hit us up. Tell us what's on your mind.
If you like what you hear, you can subscribe to our shows at feeds.guardfrequency.com or by searching for us on iTunes.
And if you're not doing anything on Friday nights, then you should join us at 8 p.m. Central as we record Guard Frequency live over at twitch.tv/guardfreak.
Do you like what we do? Want to help us make the best damn space game podcast ever? You can always support the show by visiting our website, clicking on the Patreon logo, and becoming a regular subscriber.
We want to thank all our patrons who support us week on week. We hope you consider joining them, because the more support we get, the better show we can make.
And money is great, but don't forget to spread the word about us to your wingmates.
And that brings us to the end of episode 543 of Guard Frequency. We'll be back with episode 544 on April 14th, 2026. So be sure to keep an ear out for our shows over at guardfrequency.com.
We'd like to thank the entire team at Guard Frequency and the Priority One Network. Thanks to our community manager, Justin Chivalry Bean Lowmaster, our deputy assistant to the community manager, Lennon, our senior art director, Ben Wingamanga Sanders, and of course our audio architects, Mikey, Bill Hardy, Akrosi Strife, and Watherspoon.
Thanks to our syndication partner, The Bass, and a special thanks to Ronald Jenkins for his permission to use his music in our show. Visit ronaldjenkins.com for more of his work. But above all, we especially want to thank you folks for tuning in. If no one's listening out there, the deep black gets pretty lonely.
Reduce thrust. 10-2330, count 15. Squawk 7700. Stay on the guard.
This is Tony, intros, sync one. That's what I'm going to do.
This is Jeff, intro, sync two.
Ken Shadow, intro, sync three.
This is Henry, intro, sync four.
All right, here we go. Intro in 3, 2. Welcome, pilots. You're tuned to the Guard Frequency because as all good pilots know. Oh, you know what my problem is? My microphone's too far away from my face. Let me try that again. Sure. Okay. That's fine. Stop there.
Tony decided to write me a paragraph anyway.
Oh my god, damn it. We'll maintain their freshest look. Ah, shit.
If you like what you hear, you can subscribe to our shows at Start that over. Beep beep. If you like what you hear, you can subscribe to our shows. Why can't I get past this? If you like what you hear, you can still... I'm just tripping down the trail of failure.
Are you eating Henry's gummies again?
Yeah. You can't get a contact from gummies, buddy. I mean, maybe, but we're not having that kind of contact. I don't know.
Depends where
insert beaver joke somewhere. Do you like what we do? We're all messing up in the last part. Closing. Thanks to our community manager, Justin Chivalry Bean Lowmaster. I should redo that.
Yeah, you should. We've designed this perfect system to show you our ass.